It's a joy to get to welcome Jad Davenport with me for a moment of conversation. Jad Davenport has been a member of our congregation and active in our community for some time now. Some of you may know because you may have been able to join us for other conversations. Jad is a photographer, a very good photographer, if I may say. Thank you for taking our staff Christmas card photo as well. In fact, Jad not only is a part of the National Geographic Collective, his was the first digital photo ever used on the cover of the magazine. So he's taken a lot of amazing photos in his life, but I wondered if we might back up a little bit. Before you were on the cover of magazines and traveling the world, how did you get into photography?
So I grew up in Wheat Ridge, just west of here off 32nd Avenue, and I started at Wheat Ridge High School, where I was not a very good student, and there were a couple of Wheat Ridge teachers here last congregation.
It's a small world.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Fortunately, they weren't my teachers. But I was truant quite often, and I would be found over in the wildlife refuge following some foxes, family of foxes, and a camera was a great excuse to go over and take photos. So that got me interested in photography.
And then so you went from being this teenager taking photos to then taking photos in a new way, like as a part of a professional calling. How did you go from this taking pictures of foxes to traveling the world? What were some of the early photos that you did? Where was some of your early involvement?
Sure. I started, and so right after high school, I didn't get into college, not surprisingly. And I had seen the movie The Killing Fields, and John Malkovich's character was a war photographer. And I said, maybe I should do that. And so I wound up photographing wars for the next 10 years as a freelance photographer. I covered the 1986 revolution in the Philippines. I went on to cover over a dozen genocides, ethnic cleansing conflicts from Bosnia and Iraq to a war that most people have never heard of, which is called World War III. And I'll show some photos of that, and it's still going on. And so that became, documentary photography became my passion for about 10 years.
Now, that's not the kind of photos you take anymore. Where do you find yourself these days? What kind of pictures and stories are you taking and telling? Because you aren't just a photographer. You also tell stories through your writing and other work. What are you doing?
Right. So I'm a writer as well. And I was lucky. I changed direction in my photography. And I'll speak a little bit about that at the talk. But these days, I cover stories that kind of celebrate the beauty of the world. I'm an avid reader. I love mysteries. I write quite a few stories about mysteries, true life mysteries, trying to track down what happened to Michael Rockefeller in Papua New Guinea, looking for the lost colony of Vikings in Greenland, searching for a zombie in Bahamas. And so I write stories based around quests, things that I'm interested in. I'm often a couple weeks to go try and track down Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid to find out if they were really killed in Bolivia or if they came back to Utah. So these are the kinds of stories that I enjoy telling today.
And you still have a penchant for wild animals, though not foxes. Well, actually, some foxes, but nowadays a little bit bigger animal. What are you doing with
right,
that?
Right, thank you. And so my life has kind of come full circle now. I spend quite a bit of time up in the Arctic working with polar bears, wolves, Arctic foxes. And so I'll be showing some of those photos as well.
You're heading up not too far from now, because has anyone really ever captured photos of baby polar bears coming out of the little cave they were born in for the first time?
And so this is a project I'm working on for National Geographic. I'm going up to try and photograph the polar bears as they emerge from their dens, and they're only about 6 weeks old. They're tiny little ones. These have never really been photographed in a wild situation before. You'll see photographs, but it's mostly in a kind of a controlled environment. So I'll be up there. I've been going up there for 3 years now, and I've spent a total of about an hour capturing this. So I'm going up again in a couple of weeks.
Wow. Well, we look forward to hearing not only your story on Wednesday, but all the other stories you continue to explore. And thanks for taking a minute with us. On Wednesday, we get to hear a little bit of how this journey from war to beauty occurred and what stirred within you that led you to the place you are now. And I appreciate your willingness to share that with us, Jad. Thank you so much. So again, I do invite you to hear more about this journey from war to beauty on Wednesday night at 7. Our storyteller series will be bringing us a new storyteller and new stories every month. We're in conversation not only with people in the congregation, but within the community. We look forward to having one of our Family Promise families come talk to us about the challenges of finding housing and being displaced through gentrification. We're looking at hearing the richness of stories and what they offer us in our ways of growing as people. The emphasis on storytelling came from prayer and discernment by our leadership team on the reality that we are blessed with amazingly rich stories throughout our congregation and community. It's amazing to spend time with our leaders. In fact, it was working with our leadership team that I came to know Valerie Recor's gift for bringing order and direction to everything she's a part of. I'm grateful for Valerie's story because when stories of life are shared, God shows up. And I tell you, when stories of life are shared, the blessings are double. Because it's not only a blessing to hear someone else's story, but there's also a blessing in realizing that we have a story to share, and even more so that there are people who want to hear our story. That's what we're working to do within our congregation, not just with the Storyteller series, but in everything we do. Our classes, our small groups, our service opportunities, even our prayers. We make time for joys and concerns every week so that we can be aware of the stories that are being lived around us and among us right now. It was actually because of stories shared in prayer that I've come to know Denise Moore as a tenacious and courageous woman amidst life's most difficult challenges. I hear that in the story of her prayers, and I'm grateful for Denise's story. Because when stories are shared, God shows up. As we consider the many ways and places that God shows up, relationships and connection are a very important one. Now, as I think about relationships and connection being so important to the ways that God shows up, I decided I should turn to my two most foundational resources, the places I can turn any time I need an answer. And so to help find some guidance for this conversation, I turned to both the Bible and to Mr. Rogers. These are my two go-to. Now, Fred Rogers shaped generations of children that he called his neighbors, and he did so by honoring each and every child's uniqueness. One of my favorite quotes of his, something he said so often it's just become a part of who I am. You are a very special person. There is only one you like you in the whole world. There's never been anyone exactly like you before, and there never will be again. There's only you. This powerful truth is expressed through our scriptures as well. In Genesis, we are told that each of us have been created in the image of the divine. We carry that with us in who we are. Genesis tells it this way. God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created humanity. Male, female, God created us all. And then in the Psalms, we're reminded that God didn't just create us in God's image, but God did so with great intention. We're reminded that God knit us together to be exactly who we are. The psalmist writes it this way. You are the one who created my innermost parts, O Lord. You knit me together while I was still in my mother's womb, and I give thanks to you that I have been marvelously made and set apart. These are powerful messages that await us when we study the scriptures. And studying our scriptures gives us a chance to know one another. In fact, it was in Bible study that I first came to know that Dixie Darr is an insatiable learner, someone who encourages those around her to open and explore every book and opportunity that life has to offer. I'm grateful for Dixie's story, because when stories of life are shared, God shows up. You see, within each of us is a part of the divine that God has gifted to the world. Within you, there is something divine that God has given to the world. And by knowing someone's story, we come to know God in a closer way. I mentioned earlier, I'm grateful every week to be in worship with you. I get to see new faces, I get to see familiar ones, and we get to enjoy the day the Lord has made, as we say. And at the end of each of these days, I get to stand at the back by the door and shake a lot of hands and exchange a lot of pleasantries. That's not how you get to know people. In fact, many times after I've shaken a hand a couple times and still have to say, I'm sorry, I need help with your name again, I have to remind folks, I hope we get a chance to do something together so that I might get to know you. Because every time I greet someone on a Sunday, I am hoping for an opportunity to be in some kind of group or moment of conversation with them. Because once we do something together, whether a formal class or small group, or even if we just happen to be helping out on something at the same time, that's where relationship happens. In fact, it was working on those things that just need to get done that people volunteer for, like Christmas decorations and cleaning dishes, that I got to know that Chris and Kay Davey share a passion for making all the little details come together so that the bigger things can happen. I'm grateful for Kay and Chris's story, because when stories of life are shared, God shows up. And the thing about God showing up in each and every life is that the more of life we experience, the more people's stories we experience, the more of the divine we get to come to know. I remember when the United Methodist Church took out TV ads talking about the many ways to believe in God. And one person in this commercial offered this beautiful phrase. They said, "I believe that when you truly embrace diversity, you embrace God." It was actually in discussing things like history and diversity in our very own neighborhood, in a discussion group that I was a part of, that I came to know Betsy Daniel as someone who is deeply committed to bettering the lives of her neighbors through activism. I'm grateful for Betsy's story, because when stories of life are shared, God shows up. And we aren't just sharing stories in our congregation and community. We're writing new stories together. It was actually working alongside John Jameson on some repair projects that I was struck by his commitment and desire to define this chapter of his life as one of serving others and growing. That's what he wants to be a part of here. And I'm grateful for John's story, because when stories of life are shared, God shows up. In the weeks to come, we will survey the many ways and places that God shows up, and it's important that we not forget that God shows up in this very room, in the person sitting next to you, as well as in the person you are. You are a very special person. There is only one you like you in the whole world. There's never been anyone exactly like you before, and there never will be again. There's only you. And in making you to be exactly who you are, in the image of the divine, God has made a very specific choice to reveal something sacred through your story. Something we all can only come to know by hearing and honoring who you are. And I hope you'll give us a chance to do so as we journey together. It's why we do what we do. We don't fill a calendar full of opportunities just to say we're doing stuff. We do it because that's where the sacred storytelling happens. I hope you'll join a journey group. They start next week with simple questions that allow us to hear the stories of the people we end up just sitting next to sometimes. Or maybe you'll participate in a Bible or book study. Sign-ups are happening right now for our February study on the massive changes in what it means to be spiritual. Are you Vanna Whiting again? First service, everybody started chuckling, and I just knew. I was like, I bet she's showing off the book. But here it is, a chance to be in conversation, to talk about something. And as we do, we hear our own stories and reactions in ways that allow us to grow together. Or maybe you could get hands-on in service. Peanut butter and jelly ministry is only 2 weeks away, a day that we, on Saturday mornings, come together to make sack lunches, to feed the hungry, but not just to feed people, but to then go and be present and see faces and hear stories of those that we're serving. Or maybe you could help out in Sunday school. Brandon Still always has room for people who are willing to be and care for the children in this congregation. And let me tell you, you want to see God show up, you listen to the stories that our children are living. Or maybe you can bring a smile to people's faces and joy to their heart by singing in the choir. The relationships that are formed by people who sing together are a sacred and divine thing. Or maybe our teams that are leading us to be more environmentally friendly and justice-focused, these groups that gather regularly to talk about how we live out our values, could give you a place to live into values you have and thus share them and come to know the stories of others who value the same things you do. Or if your story is one that's harder to share, that maybe you're living one of those moments in your story that you just don't know which end is up, I invite you to contact Ashley or me for some pastoral care and support that we might help you begin to put words to the story that sometimes feel like you can't even speak it aloud. In taking part of any of these opportunities, you will find God showing up in the stories around you, and you will bless others as they, and hopefully you, see God showing up in your story. I'm grateful for your story. I'm grateful for your willingness to let it be a part of our community, because when stories of life are shared, God shows up. Amen.